Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-42, Glenn R. Jones.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broad Creek Hundred, Sussex County, by dividing 65.91 acres into 38 lots located northwest of Road 488, 2,450 feet northeast of Road 487. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has received any additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, the TAC review of February 21st of this year will be made a part of the record. On October 29th, Mr. Witzel submitted draft restrictive covenants. They've been reviewed by Mr. Robertson. We have a letter from him that was received November 1st. Also on November 1st, the applicant submitted a Delmarva Fox Squirrel report, NREC septic feasibility statement, and the required wetlands notice and the deed restrictions. And on October 16th, the applicants provided a revised preliminary plan, and each of you has received a copy of that. So I'll have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair welcomes back Mr. Witzel.
Mr. Chairman, good to see you. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Robert Witzel. I'm here for the applicant and developer, Glenn Jones. Mr. Jones, as you well know, often notices, even to the owner, let alone other property owners, goes out rather late in the whole zoning process. And Mr. Jones had made arrangements to have a family vacation about 2 weeks prior to the time the notices came out. He regrets not being able to be here. He is available by telephone if I can reach him, but he wishes he could be here. Together with me tonight is Stephen Engel of Vista Design. They're the designers and landscape architects for this project. And Randy Hill of Callaway Farnell and Moore. He is the real estate agent who will be involved with the sale of subdivided lots. This will be very brief. It's a small rural subdivision of 38 lots on 45.2 acres. I do need to correct the record. At some point early in the process, before I was involved, the application was written and noticed for 68 acres, you mentioned, Mr. Lang?
65.9.
65 acres. Prior to that time, in the past year and a half, Mr. Jones has sold off a portion of that property. It is 45.2 acres. It remains at 38 lots. The property is AR zoned, and the intent for construction on these 38 lots is for very affordable site-built, modular, and Class C manufactured double-wide homes. The gross density per unit is 8.4 units per acre. We are in a flood X flood zone. The present zoning classification, which will not change, is AR1. We have the standard county setbacks. The front yard is 40 feet, rear is 20, side yard is 15 feet. We range from 1.18 acres for the westerly larger lots to a lot size of 33,164 square feet, which is the minimum lot size of 3/4 of an acre, which is permitted by code in the subdivision code. The restrictive covenants, which Shane mentioned, call for a minimum structural size square footage of 1,230 square feet, a 512 roof pitch, and the restrictions, most importantly in this area, there are wetlands. I'll get to that in a minute, but none of the lots contain wetlands, and our restrictive covenants are specific that no structures, whether they're owner's association or lot owners who are adjacent to the wetland areas, may place or construct any structure within the wetland areas. Mr. Chairman, I have one quick motion to make for the admission of a document which is not controversial. It is not promotional. In going through the files this week, I realized that my client had neglected to insert the Federal Wetlands Jurisdictional Determination Report, Evelyn Malmeyer's report. It simply defines in specificity where those wetlands are, the extent of them. They comport with the definition of the wetland shown on the plat. And with your permission, I'd like to provide that to your council, just so that it could be clear. I'm well aware of the three-day rule. This is not an adversarial or promotional document.
I understand. Informational, and we'll let council take a look at it. I suspect that it can be entered into the record. It's not, the intention of the three-day rule is so things find their way into the file and people can look at them. If there's anyone here that has an interest in seeing the wetlands report for this application, please make yourself known, and we'll have to let you have a look at it right now. This gentleman right back here, come on up.
Mr. Chairman, those are the basic details of the subdivision. I'm going to briefly address the Section 99.9C considerations for subdivisions. And as you know, this can be a rather dreary listing of the considerations, but let me go through them as quickly as possible, particularly for those people behind me who might not be familiar with these considerations. The first consideration is the integration of the proposed subdivision into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape. This 45-acre parcel is relatively flat throughout the lot areas, and it does slope off towards the wetland areas and for approximately 10 feet of the topography drop. There are 3.08 acres of existing U.S. Army Corps of Engineer 404 wetlands in the westerly portion of the parcel. None of these wetland areas are to be disturbed. As I mentioned, the restrictive covenants, they protect this area from any encroachment whatsoever. The subdivision has been designed to minimize the impact by residential lots. The existing farm pond, which Steve Engel will discuss in a minute, is going to be incorporated into the stormwater management area with minimum disturbance to the 404 wetlands. The second condition or consideration is minimal use of wetlands and floodplains, and I just addressed that in my primary comment. Preservation of natural and historic features is number three. Neither we nor any of the state agencies have identified any significant natural or historic features. Glenn Jones, as Shane said, commissioned a Delmarva fox squirrel survey, which indicated there is no evidence of any such squirrels on the premises. We have not received any indication from the Department of Agriculture that there are any other special features or creatures within the premises. The fourth consideration is preservation of open space and scenic views. We plan to have oversight by all lot owners of the wetlands area. There are no real scenic views here. There are adjacent farmlands. Both persons who have purchased property, and by my count, there's approximately 12 to 15 homeowners along Johnson Road. There will be a significant buffer area between Johnson Ridge, the name of this subdivision, and those lots. Additionally, there is the mandatory 30-foot agricultural buffer. When combined with the rear yard setback, that buffer also accounts for the structural setback of 50 feet from any ag lands. The requirement for minimization of tree vegetation and soil removal and grade changes is met by this application. We will be practicing forestry best practices. Lots 23, Steve, if you would go to the, this is Steve Engel. If you would go to the podium there and show lots 23 through 27. These are presently wooded lots, and we intend for those lots to remain wooded at the discretion of the lot owners. We will not be disturbing those lots. There will be no deforestation of those lots except for construction of the roadways and, Steve, for septic area construction.
It just really depends on the soils for the site. It could range anywhere between 2 and 5,000 square feet.
Those five lots will be sold as wooded lots, and they will be left to the discretion of the property owner. Mr. Jones stated that he has had interest in persons purchasing wooded lots, and we will not be destroying any of those wetlands. Woodlands. The sixth consideration is screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways. I mentioned the 30-foot aglands buffer together with the 50-foot setback from structural setback from aglands pursuant to section 99G, 99-6G2 of the code. The subdivision is bordered by farmlands on the north and east, and that's where those buffers are located. The Abrams parcel, which is the parcel which is surrounded on three sides by our subdivision, was a previous subdivision out of this large lot by not Mr. Jones, but by his predecessor in title. And there is approximately 56.9 feet distance to the boundary line on the east side, and over 126 feet from the boundary on the north side of the Abrams structure. Seventh consideration is provision for water supply. These will be on-site wells, and all DNRAC well requirements will be met by the developer. The eighth provision is provision for sewage disposal. These are on-site septic systems, and the DNRC Division of Water Resources has reported in their report to the TAC committee that the proposed subdivision as shown by the plan would be feasible for individual on-site wastewater treatment and disposal systems in accordance with groundwater discharge section regulations, which the developer shall meet. Number nine is prevention of pollution of surface and groundwater. We have a 2.14 acre proposed stormwater management area located in the western portion of the subdivision, which in our opinion now will meet the stormwater requirements of the subdivision. Of course, Sussex Soil Conservation District will be reviewing those plans, and we will meet and comply with their regulations and recommendations. DNRAC has reported that there are no lust underground storage tank sites within our property or in the nearby area. Number 10 is minimalization of erosion and sedimentation, minimalization of changes in groundwater levels, of increased water runoff or potential flood, and design of drainage so that groundwater recharge is maximized. Sussex Soil Conservation District again will be reviewing this application between Steve Engel and stormwater management. There will be full compliance with those regulations. The 11th consideration is provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and two adjacent roadways. The DelDOT did not provide any negative comments. Really, their comments were very straightforward, standard comments regarding this application. We recognize the requirements of the Delaware State Fire Marshal's Office. The difference between the original plan submitted to you and the plan submitted approximately 10 days ago, the revised plan, is that we enlarged the cul-de-sacs to meet the 106-foot diameter requirements. They're now 53 feet in radius. The prior plan had 50, and so that was, Steve, was that the only correction on that plan?
I believe that's correct.
Thank you. Randy Hill will step forward. Randy, if you'd come up for a moment. Randy is with Callaway, Farnell, and Moore. He is has been a real estate agent for 3 years. Randy, have you had the opportunity to investigate, sell, or list properties in the nearby area?
Yes.
And
yep.
Are you familiar with the property values? Did you take a look at listings and records of sales, comparables, along Johnson Road in the past year?
Yes, I do.
In your business with Callaway, Farnell, and Moore, do you have the responsibility of estimating property values for listing purposes and informing potential customers or sellers of the estimated value of their property?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And have you looked at specific sites and sales along Johnson Road?
Yes. Yep.
Do you have an opinion regarding the effect that this subdivision would have with its site-built houses, its modular potential, and its Class C double-wide structures to how it would have an effect on surrounding property values?
Yes. The benefit is Johnson Ridge is a restricted community, which will have similar homes to those on Johnson Road. There is a manufactured Class C home on Johnson Road that recently sold for $160,000. Now, the homes adjacent to Johnson Road are also, could be comparisons. They have a price range of $200,000 to $265,000. Those are the ones that are on the left-hand side of Johnson Road. I don't feel that Johnson Ridge is going to have a negative impact on those adjacent parcels.
Do you find that there's a need for affordable housing in the Blades and Seaford and Laurel area?
Yes, very much so.
Do you believe that this would assist with providing affordable housing to those people who are looking for it?
Yes, probably first-time home buyers. If you had a price range of $160,000 to $175,000, there's not a big market for that out there right now. I think there's definitely a need for it.
Thank you, Randy.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, I'm getting down the list. I feel that it's necessary to hit these.
Create a record. Go ahead.
13 is preservation and conservation of farmland. Due to its relatively narrow shape, Mr. Jones informs me that this property has never been feasible for irrigation and that the property has had a history of minimal productive corn and soybean crops. The reports in the file from the U.S. Department of Agriculture suggest that the soils on this property are poorly and somewhat poorly drained soils. And the Delaware Department of Agriculture, in its January 31st, 2007 correspondence, reports that the agricultural buffer plans, which my client has provided to meet the county code, are satisfactory. The developer pledges to follow forestry best management practices in clearing any woodlands that need to be cleared for roads, for cul-de-sacs, and for septic or well systems. The school district and the Seaford School District, the Delaware State Police Troop 5, and the Blades Fire Company serve this area. Notices were sent to those agencies, and there have been no comments returned from them. We believe that the 38-lot subdivision should not have a detrimental effect on the community schools, the police services, or any other public facilities. The 15th consideration is effect on area roadways and public transportation. We do recognize that this is in a state level spending level 4 zone, but we believe it meets all the applicable standards of the Sussex County Code. It is a permitted use. This is not really an area that requires state spending. Johnson Road is in good shape. It's a straightaway from this subdivision all the way down to Seaford Road. DelDOT did not issue any negative comments in any of the TAC reports and did not require a traffic impact study for this project. We don't believe that there's any significant impact on the roadways or public transportation. In fact, there is no public transportation in the nearby vicinity. It commences with Seaford. I believe there is some public transportation service to Laurel, but it is minimal and certainly does not come through the Johnson Road area. The next to last consideration is compatibility with other land uses. I've mentioned the ag buffer and the setback. On the western side of this property is the 150-foot connective power line easement. That effectively buffers all of the properties on the west side of the power line easement from this subdivision if there are any negative impacts of visibility whatsoever, which we don't believe will be providing. The subdivision is compatible with the similar residential structures along Johnson Road, as Randy just mentioned to you. The final consideration of 99.9C is effect on area waterways. There are no navigable waterways in the immediate vicinity. The parcel does lie within the Nanticoke and Broad Creek watersheds. Mr. Jones, as the developer, is mindful of the total maximum daily load for nitrogen and phosphorus requirements, and he will cooperate with the wetlands and subaqueous land section of DNREC and how to minimize nutrients on the runoff from the site. Again, we have a significant and sufficient stormwater management area that's located proximate to the wetlands. We don't perceive any detrimental flow off from this site. And finally, the wetlands area in the western portion of the parcel will remain a common area and not a portion of any lot. There is no lot which encroaches upon that wetland area. That concludes my presentation. Steve, do you have anything to add from the engineering point of view or landscaping point of view?
No, unless I have any questions.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes my presentation.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we're going to start with Mr. Gordy.
The you stated that Class C double-wide trailers or homes would be permitted.
Yes, sir.
Is there any restrictions on them as far as what type, as far as pitch of roof or?
Oh, they would have to meet the minimum size requirement and the 512 pitch of the. They may need to be modified to meet these restrictions, Mr. Gordy.
Okay. So that's included in the restrictive coverage?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there an area along the 50-foot access along Johnson's Road for a bus stop? Is there any provisions there? You could put a bus stop there.
It's actually 61 and a half feet wide, so I would say yes, there's probably some area along the roadway that can provide for the bus stop.
We would be pleased to make that a condition of approval,
if
Mr. Johnson.
If school desired it, I mean, I'm sure you could contact the transportation section and see if they would need that.
Yes, sir.
Is there sidewalks in the subdivision?
There
are no sidewalks. Okay. And lots 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, are they entrance along the 50-foot easement?
Yes, they would enter off that easement. That's correct.
Okay. So that... Say they'd have to back up on that easement to get out, or
it's actually the way it's designed right now is a boulevard, so they'd have to back up to the boulevard, turn around at the end of the street.
And along the 50-foot easement, it looks like you're showing a landscape buffer there, or is it just
that's existing vegetation?
It's existing, and that'll remain, or is it on the other?
That's the intent.
Okay, is it on that property or is it on the other property?
On both.
On both. Okay. And you said there's no lot within the wetlands, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And is there anything in the restricted covenants that's going to address the cutting of the woods as far as what they can do or what they can't do?
On those, five lots,
yeah.
Mr. Gordy? No, sir, there are not.
So if someone would come in and wanted their woodland lot and decided to change it, they could?
They could. We have not put consumer restrictions on those lots. Mr. Jones is not going to take away any trees other than those necessary for the roads and the septic and well system. And when I talked to him about this, and again, he's sorry he couldn't be here, he said there are people who specifically want to have wooded lots, and people who don't want to have wooded lots have the choice of buying 34 other lots.
Yeah, I understand that, but some people may have wanted a wooded lot, and after a couple years of raking leaves, they might decide they don't want that anymore. And
yes, sir.
I hate to see woods cut that doesn't have to be cut.
Well, I agree with you, but there are no
okay.
There are no restrictives.
Okay.
Or they might just quit raking the leaves.
Yeah, that's true.
Should do that too. That's what I did.
That's all the questions I have right now, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you tell me again where you are insofar as getting the septic feasibility letters or a letter?
That report has been submitted, sir. We have it.
You have it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And back to Mr. Gordy's question about the homes, is there a restriction on the size, number of bedrooms of the homes?
No, sir. There's a minimum square footage size. I write a lot of restrictive covenants, and I've always been loath to put in any restrictions regarding number of bedrooms.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know
big houses with two bedrooms, and people like small houses with four bedrooms. There's no accounting for people's taste, particularly mine.
No other questions. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
On the wetlands that are located on the property, I understand that no wetlands are included in any lot lines.
Correct.
But along with that, are there any buffers between those lot lines and those wetlands?
There are not.
So as you're proposing, the lot line would butt up against the some wetlands in some cases?
That's correct. The rear lot line would be the wetland line.
And in what lots will we be talking about that would be adjoining the wetlands?
I think it's mostly 27. That wetland line is in this location here.
I think...
really only lot 27.
I think minimally... about the 29. 29 is adjacent to them. 27 and 29 are, and just that corner of 28 are adjacent, but not contiguous to the wetlands, Mr. Johnson. These are upland wetlands. They are, it's not what we think of when we think of state of Delaware DNRAC wetlands.
Well, in referring to the TAC comments, we do have comments there from DENREC that are expressing a desire to have at least a 100-foot forested buffer zone between that and the wetlands. How would you respond to DENREC's request?
Probably the loss of two or three lots. So the wetland line is right here. You have to offset that 100 feet, you're going to probably lose these three lots.
And are you aware that in recent 2 years, 2.5 years, that the commission typically requests a minimum of 50-foot setback from those wetlands from the property lines?
I am not.
Okay. You are now. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton?
Yes, sir. Is there any landscaping plan at all?
Not at this time.
Within the development? No further questions.
Mr. Burton, the restrictive covenants provide for a landscape review by the Architectural Review Committee for each lot. If you're referring to the common areas, common area landscaping, there's minimal common areas to this subdivision.
Would you say the buffer on that road is a common area?
Along here, sir?
Yes.
Yes.
Would that be landscaped at all?
We can certainly provide that in the final site plan.
It's really going to be a function of final engineering. There's an existing ditch that runs down this easement that carries off-site drainage. If we have to pipe it, it might kind of limit what kind of landscaping we can put in.
Ditch is going to be on this side of the road.
The way it's designed right now is that hopefully we can run the ditch between the two lanes.
Okay. No further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang?
No question.
Mr. Couts?
No question.
Mr. Abbott?
Any street lights proposed?
Pardon me?
Any street lights?
No street lights are proposed, sir. We would leave that up to the subdivision after it's turned over to the association.
All right, sir.
Congratulations, Mr. Abbott.
Did he wake up?
Yeah, so.
Paying attention.
He is paying attention. God bless him. Counsel, anything?
Questions.
Okay. Mr. Witzel, we thank you. If you'll stand aside for a moment, but don't go too far away. Someone may have an interest in your application. We're going to find out right now. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-42, Glenn R. Jones? For anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-42? That would be you. All right, sir.
Me.
Step right up. Tell us who you are, and you may have the floor.
I am Keith Baker. That's my wife, Jeanette. We live on Johnson Road, and I'm not really in favor, or I'm kind of concerned, to be really honest with you.
Yeah. We'll accept that.
A wetland behind our property. As far as it being scenic, it's very scenic back there. It's really, really pretty. And as far as it not being profitable, as far as agricultural goes, they had a pretty good watermelon crop there just last year. Sweet, juicy.
Okay.
Yeah. But what I'd like to know is when it's wet down there, the water always comes toward that one corner. What are they going to do about the ditch that Mr. Burton was talking about as far as landscaping? That's my big concern. Because the properties down there were definitely flood. And I don't think anyone in that area that has housings is realizing that it's going to be double wides. I don't think anyone's been told that. Those are my concerns.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Witzel, would you like to respond to the gentleman's for us, if you would, please?
Yeah, I'm going to take a legal stab at it, and I'm sure Steve can follow up. It seems to me that if Mr. Baker is concerned about flooding and wet low-lying areas between his parcel and our parcel, or even on the Johnson Ridge acreage now, that stormwater management and compliance with Sussex Soil Conservation District requirements are going to alleviate that problem. It will certainly be better than farmland sitting wet now. Steve, is that the correct engineering answer?
Pretty much it. I mean,
Mr. Engel, if you're going to speak, we need to come up the microphone.
Come right up here, Steve.
Thank you.
When we submit an engineering drawing for stormwater management, we have to take in consideration off-site drainage. We're going to have to figure out what the watershed is coming down that existing ditch, and then we also have to direct all site runoff into our stormwater management pond to help alleviate things of like flooding.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. You and then you.
Hi, my name is Jason Beal. I live on Abbots Pond Road, just southwest of Milford. And I'm just concerned about the area of the with the wetlands edge, keeping the buffer there. There's a lot of wetland dependent species are also dependent on the adjacent upland areas there, so that's my concern there, that's maintained.
Okay, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name's Jeanette Baker. I had just a couple of questions, actually.
Okay.
This gentleman has mentioned that there was the ditch between the two lanes.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to have that clarified, because our property, if there's a ditch in between the two lanes, does that mean that there's going to be traffic on this side of the ditch and then traffic on this side of the ditch? There is a Wally's Way Road that goes back, and I'm wondering if that's the access road that they're going to be using and if they're creating another one. Because in that case, it will be right on our property, pretty much. And I don't think there's enough between our property line and that ditch. I don't believe that there is enough room for vehicles to travel. And at this time, we are the ones maintaining that property, because if we didn't do it, nobody would be taking care of that property or that grass cutting along that area. So I was wondering if that's going to be taken care of if this happens. I was also wondering what type of buffer is going to be used to buffer the back of our property to where their proposed property is? And are these homes going to be on a permanent foundation? And is it...
Answer that one for
okay.
you. That's a yes.
Okay. Thank you. And the septic systems, are they going to be the mound system, or are they underground?
Mr. Abbott, what's the septic feasibility report indicate, if you would? We'll find that out for you right now. While he's looking for that, Mr. Baker, you may wish to contact the Soil Conservation District if this project is approved and let them know that you have that concern about that particular development, and that might be of some value to make sure that your concern gets addressed. I can tell you that if it's approved, they have the obligation to see to it that their development does not impact your property. That being said, sometimes it helps if you let them know that you're concerned about it.
Soil Conservation
District in Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mr. Abbott, can you find anything?
It is part of.
Majority of them will be LPP pipe systems.
Okay, there's a low pressure pipe. They're underground. They're not the big mound systems. I have my
figured that out.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to answer her question regarding the right-of-way. Ms. Baker.
I appreciate that. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like you to put that on a record for us.
Yes, sir. Her question
okay,
was the location of the access road, and it's within the 61.5 foot strip going into the subdivision, and Wally's Lane lies within that now.
Wally's Lane's like this wide.
Right.
Enough for one vehicle at one time going in.
But your property line is here, mm-hmm. and this is not going to encroach into your property line at all.
Okay, so my question is, this area right here, in between, okay, you have Wally's Way, and then there's this ditch.
Let me have the engineer see okay. where you're pointing.
You have Wally's Way right here, and then there's a ditch here. Then there is a small strip of property that's supposed to, I guess,
be your access
be out here, or I'm not sure. No, I think they're saying their access road is here and here.
Two lanes. What's essentially going to happen is that existing ditch will probably be shifted one way or the other so we can get our two lanes in. But anything we do has to stay within our 61.5 feet.
That ditch runs all the way to the Nanticoke River if you follow it on the tax map.
Right. But we're only.
I think you could move.
You can move it. You just can't change the characteristic of it. If it ultimately drains into the Nanticoke River, it has to operate the same way as it did before. It's a good question. Is that a tax ditch? Is that a tax ditch, or is it just a private ditch?
I'm not sure.
If that ditch goes, three of those houses down on that road will flood.
Oh no, we can't.
Well,
eliminate
I think the applicant has made it clear that they tend to move the ditch, not eliminate it.
Right.
And certainly they would put a new one in before they took the old one out.
Or what about a buffer zone in between the properties and the ditch and the roads? Our property road, will there be a buffer in between that? Like, you know, some landscaping or something along this edge?
There's nothing planned at this time.
Yep, well, it's wild. It's not.
Okay, folks, I'm going to ask you to step away from the podium. I need one person at the podium at a time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I appreciate it for purposes. I understand. No, I asked you to. You're fine. You're doing good. But for purposes of the record and so on, and comments really need to be addressed to the chair, and then the chair will ask. And I know that's a little cumbersome, and sometimes we do waive that. But your question now is about any kind of buffer, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna find out for you here in a minute. Do you have anything else?
The side and to the rear. I don't know. They have a space there on
okay.
this map that I just saw. There is quite a bit of space in it. It looks like their lot. I'm wondering. I'm assuming that they don't have any rights to that area. That's not what the area that's being sold or being asked to be sold. So I'm wondering about the buffer zones around that area.
Well, it's a reasonably good bet that if they don't own it and they're not buying it, they don't have any control over it and they can't do anything with it. But I will ask the question for you. Is there anything else you want me to ask them?
I don't think so at this time. Thank you
all
for
righty.
Your time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Mr. Engel, would you please address the lady's question regarding buffers?
Again, we have 61 and a half foot right-of-way to the majority of the subdivision. As it stands right now, there is no buffer being proposed. The entrance has not been officially, has not been fully engineered or designed. It could very well turn into a single lane or single entrance road instead of two separate lanes with a median in the middle. I'm sure that if Mr. Jones and the design warrants, I'm sure Mr. Jones would not have a problem providing some type of buffer.
From an engineering perspective, do you, barring anything unusual from DelDOT, or is it physically possible to have some kind of landscape buffer, even if it's just 5 feet or something?
I would say yes.
And go ahead, Mr. Wetzel.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Jones is not here, but I will pledge on his behalf that the area which is not part of the roadway to our boundary line, whatever is left over in that 61 and a half feet, ma'am, that is not asphalt. Mr. Engel informs me that we couldn't possibly use all of that 61 feet for asphalt.
No, you wouldn't.
There's going to be a significant portion that it's not roadway, if you understand that.
I was going to say, who wants to do that?
No, obviously, I'm trying to address this lady's concern. She might envision.
I understand that.
A big strip of asphalt
and
there.
Point
whatever,
well taken.
Whatever
point
is well taken. Whatever is not asphalted on each side of that roadway will be landscaped. Steve, if you could help me here, I'm committing resources on my client, but we will plant shrubbery.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary for you to be specific. You've certainly done what I was said what I was hoping you would say, which is that you would be willing.
Yes, there will be
to,
a shrubbed buffer,
right,
Mr. Chairman,
and to have some plantings there to give these folks some kind of a screen if in fact it is approved. So I appreciate
yes,
that very
thank
much.
You.
Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
Question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
This would be for the engineer. I guess I'm looking at your stormwater management area. Where would you propose an access to that for maintenance or repairs? Or I don't currently see one on.
Again, it hasn't been designed, but the goal would be either to access between lots 28 and 29 or 29 and 30.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Anyone else have any questions? Yes?
The opportunity to review the wetlands report, and it will be made up part of the record.
Okay, the wetlands reports will be admitted to the record.
Thank you.
Once again, if there's anyone else here that would like to see it, it will be available right here until the close of business tonight, and it will be in the file tomorrow if you want to take a look at it. Okay, then, we'll close the public hearing. We thank you for being with us. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday night with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning, and don't be a stranger.
All right, thank you.